Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Governments today face serious public management challenges that go to the core of effective governance and leadership, testing the very form, structure, and capacity required to meet these challenges head-on. These challenges run the gamut: national security issues, the aging population, mounting fiscal pressures, and a host of other issues. Given these challenges, government leaders need to reassess and reprioritize how they do business. For these leaders, it is ultimately about delivering meaningful results and being solid stewards of the public trust. In many ways, the U.S. Accountability Office, GAO, provides the oversight, insight, and foresight that can assist today's government leaders to better manage resources, enhance program performance, and forge a path to a more sustainable future. What are the fiscal, management, and performance challenges facing today's government executive? What is the goal of GAO's HIRIS series? How are performance data being used to drive decisions in the federal government? And how can an audit agency change the way it does business to properly respond to 21st century governance challenges? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Chris Mim, Managing Director, Strategic Issues at the U.S. Government Accountability Office. Chris, welcome back.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be back. I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
So, Chris, before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you can provide us with a brief overview of the history and evolving mission of the U.S. Government Accountability Office. What are the fundamental ways GAO carries out its mission?
It's interesting. We were formed in 1921 as the General Accounting Office, had our name changed in early 2000s, 2004, to the Government Accountability Office to more accurately reflect at that point the type of work that we were doing. Our mission is to support the Congress in meeting its constitutional responsibilities and to help improve the performance and ensure the accountability of the American government for the benefit of all the American people. And what that means is that for us is that we are a congressional agency. We do our work at the request or in behest of the Congress. We do about 900 reviews each year. Most of those are performance audits. Probably 90% of those are at the request of the Congress or written into legislation. And, you know, our work falls into three very broad kind of buckets. This is our auditing work. Oversight, that is looking at compliance, making sure that funds are properly expended for their intended purposes. Insight, looking at best practice. You know, what is working and can that be leveraged and taken to other areas? And then finally, what we call foresight, which is what are some of the emerging trends that we need to help make sure that the Congress is aware of, both those trends and the implications of those trends for public policy and governance. And so our work falls into those, our audit work falls into those three very broad areas.
With such a critical mission, I'd like to get a sense of the operational footprint of GAO proper. Would you tell us a little bit more about how it's organized, the size of the budget, and maybe give us a sense of the employees?
Sure. We have our budget is about $520 million a year. Like all other agencies or most other agencies, we have had a decline during the period of austerity over the last few years. And in fact, our staffing is about at 2,900 now, which is among the lowest that we've ever been, certainly since the 1930s. We're organized here in Washington, D.C., and then in 11 field offices across the country. About 70% of the staff is here in Washington. We're in 13 different teams, which in most other organizations would be a division. And those are, for the most part, programmatically organized. And so it would be a team that looks at defense issues, a team that looks at natural resources, a team that looks at the physical infrastructure issues. Some of the teams are cross-cutting in nature. And the team that I lead, Strategic Issues, is one of the cross-cutting teams that looks across government and looks at more functional issues across government rather than having a programmatic perspective.
And I'd like to focus on your specific role. leading strategic issues. Would you tell us about your duties and responsibilities as the managing director of GAO's strategic issues? What are your duties? What areas fall under your purview? And how do you support the overall agency?
We have a strategic plan like the GAO, like other leading organizations. I'm part of the goal three for us in GAO. The third goal is to help transform the federal government to address national challenges. What that means concretely for us is that we have responsibility in strategic issues for a set of broad cross-cutting governance issues. And by that, I mean things like performance planning, strategic planning across the entire federal government, regulatory policy across the federal government, strategic human capital management across the federal government. We also look at basically how the government funds itself. So we have a responsibility in GAO for looking at the tax system, both in terms of tax policy and tax administration, as well as the federal budgeting. Specifically from the congressional standpoint, we look at support the Congress and looking at congressional reforms of budgeting. So it's a very broad portfolio. We do engagements on our own. An engagement is what we would call an audit, typically reports, as well as an awful lot of our work consists of supporting our colleagues and other teams. So back to that defense group or that natural resources group, as they're doing work and identifying perhaps a human capital issue in a defense area or interior or whatever, we support them and partner with them to make sure that they have the advantage of some of the leading thinking in those particular areas, to make sure also that we're learning from them and applying that more to government-wide or cross-cutting lessons learned as well.
Now, it's such an interesting portfolio. And regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges? And I think you may have alluded to at least one in your previous responses, but what are the top three challenges you face? How have you sought to address them?
It's a fun environment to be working in the public sector, which means it's also very challenging. and these aren't certainly unique to GAO, but they play out in different ways in GAO. I think the first for us is supply-demand imbalance. Congress's need for information, their need for independent, objective, and timely information and assessments of how governments are working, improvement opportunities, has grown markedly and continues to grow. And it's a sign, I think, of our good reputation that they turn to us on that. At the same time, as I mentioned, our budget has been going down. And so we need to the way we address that is we need to work very, very closely with our clients to make sure that we don't have expectation gaps that emerge, to make sure that we understand what they need and when they need it, and that they understand from us when we think we'll be able to deliver a particular piece of analysis or report. You know, the old saw about the only thing worse than bad news is bad news that comes late or bad news that was unexpected. We make sure that that doesn't take place. And we work with them to make sure that there's no expectation gaps. The second is the one that I alluded to earlier, making sure that I'm and my colleagues in strategic issues are adequately supporting the rest of GAO in making sure that we bring a governance perspective to the work that they're trying to do. One of the things I mentioned, we have responsibility for tax issues. So we spend a lot of time looking at tax expenditures. These are the $1 trillion basically in federal spending that is run through the tax code, through credits and deductions and other things. In many cases, that's the most efficient and effective way to achieve a public objective. So this isn't in any way an argument against using the tax code and tax expenditures. Rather, we want to make sure that the tax part of the equation is subjected to the performance test, just like any program that's funded through the regular budget process. So we work with our colleagues if they're looking at a particular subject area to make sure that we bring in a tax perspective on that. A particular example of that is that we did some work looking at federal support for post-secondary education. There's obviously quite a bit of money that runs through Pell Grants, which is, in other direct student aid. The majority of money federal spending, though, is run through the tax code, which is all the various programs that we get that provide benefits. So if you're looking at the total federal effort to support post-secondary education, our point is that you need to have both pieces of that equation in there. The third great demand that we take, and one that I'm particularly involved in and really excited about, is making sure that our auditing techniques, that is the questions that we're asking, are as sophisticated as the problems that we're trying to address. And by that I mean is that the traditional unit of analysis for a performance audit, which is what we do, is we get a letter from Congress that says, tell us how this program is working. And we go in and we look at, in the jargon, the inputs, which are the dollars that are spent on theirs, and the outputs, that is what it produces, and then try and make a judgment about whether or not it's effective based on that. And that's great work. Increasingly, though, we need to start looking at a result that matters, that is reducing homelessness and looking at all the array of public tools and public programs that are designed to attack that problem. So it changes the unit of analysis to basically looking at the outcome and working back rather than starting at a program and working forward. That's really exciting stuff, and it's the next evolution in where the whole kind of performance auditing world is going.
Sort of an inverted logic model, maybe?
That's exactly what it is. Exactly.
Along with the challenges you've encountered leading the strategic issues portfolio for the country's premier audit organization, it can be fraught with unanticipated or unexpected surprises. To that end, what has surprised you most during your tenure at GAO?
There's been a couple of things, and I'm not sure if they've really been surprises, but things that have been, you know, particularly gratifying to see is, in a sense, how they play out and things that make the work very exciting. One of which is the increasing complexity of the types of issues that we're asking government to confront. You know, the jargon that's often referred to is the wicked issues, wicked in terms of complexity and not necessarily an evil, although some of them obviously are evil in nature. But it gets back to the point about the changing perspective of the inverted logic. Logic models, a change of perspective of performance management, is that, you know, everything that we're trying to achieve today is not going to be achieved by one organization using one program strategy operating on its own. It's rather going to be achieved by a variety of programs working together, federal, state, and local, very often the NGO, non-governmental sector, and other organizations, hopefully working in a coordinated way in order to achieve results. And so the notion of complexity and network management is certainly one of the big changes that, you know, that we've seen. And the greater appreciation for that. Second, and directly related to that, I think, is the speed of change. Mm-hmm. That certainly the speed in which, you know, the decision makers need and must have information in order to make decisions. Certainly, technology and social media has really pushed this as well. But it's just the things that we may have had an opportunity to pilot test and spend a couple of years getting ready and shaking out the bugs. Now, citizens are quite rightly demanding, no, we want this program fixed, or we want this problem rather fixed much more rapidly than we would have had tolerance in the past. Third is kind of a related to both of those as well, and that is that the increasing notion of the multi-levels of government in which problems have to be addressed. Now, in this country, we have a tendency to focus on meaning that means like IGR, intergovernmental relations, federal, state, local, and that's obviously an enormous issue, but increasingly means international as well, and that, you know, that key parts of responsibilities that in the past may have been responsibilities of the federal government, some of them are going down to state and locals, some of them either be trade agreements or other things get subsumed at the international level. What's been fascinating about this, Michael, is that I've had the opportunity recently to do some work with the European Parliament, and they've had a report that's come out that's called Preparing for Complexity, in which they're looking at four great trends that are going to affect the European Parliament in, by 2020, 2025, and they're directly consistent with that. They're talking about multipolarity, they're talking about, you know, multi-levels of government, multi-actors, and what they call multi-tech, which is basically the speed of change. They're thinking about how does that affect Europe as an entity. It certainly, as we see those, or I've seen those, directly affect how we think about what the role of the federal government will be and capacity of the federal government as we move forward as well.
Chris, given your experience, what are the characteristics of an effective leader in an increasingly interconnected and networked world? And to what extent does the new cross-boundary networked environment call for a fundamentally different concept of leadership?
Very much. It needs to change in the sense that no longer, I mean, let me say, if you think of kind of the old ways that we either characterized leadership in the public sector or thought about what a leader would be, we would think about it in terms of direct reports. Remember when that term was used? You know, how many direct reports does she or he have? You know, and so leadership was defined as your particular position in a hierarchical pyramid. You know, and it's not as though all that's gone away. Many of us still work in hierarchical and large organ and bureaucratic organizations. However, increasingly, we're seeing that leadership entails thinking about or having skills in facilitation, negotiation, working across boundaries. This is both geographic boundaries, boundaries of professional discipline, boundaries of public policy tools, whether it be a grant, direct service delivery, or contract. So we may still work in a hierarchical organization, but it's more the skills of what's been characterized as enablement skills. That is, getting people who don't work for you, who aren't your direct reports to do things you want them to do. That's the leadership challenge today. People that work for you, it's relatively easy to get them to do what you want them to do, or, you know, you kind of set out an expectation and all that stuff. It's getting people that don't work for you, that have different goals in different sectors, in different organizations, that communication facilitation, that's what leadership is today.
What are the fiscal, management, and performance challenges facing today's government executives? We will ask Chris Mim, Managing Director of Strategic Issues at the U.S. Government Accountability Office, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.